League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Hey, if you've suffered an injury in an accident and would like a free case review, make sure you call the super team at Daspit Law Firm. Free consultations are available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Dial 713-CALL-NOW. That's 713-CALL-NOW. Or you can go to the website, DaspitLaw.com.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's John and Lance
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Good Friday morning, everybody. John and Del for the next 3 hours here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. I'm going to need y'all, you know that picture of Lance laying in bed with the when he's sick? That picture, I'm going to need you all to send that out to him, okay, on X, on Twitter. I'm going to need you all to send that out this morning. We got a text, what time, about 1:30 in the morning or so? 1:25, what was it?
It was late. Too was late. Late for anyone to do anything about it.
I think it was 1:25 I saw.
12:29.
Food poisoning. What was it?
12:29.
12:29. Food poisoning. Very sick.
I got to ask the logistics.
What's he eating?
I don't know. I know people get food poisoning. I don't. I've never had it, so I can't speak I can't speak to how debilitating it is. I just never had it, so I imagine it's awful. But when you text a morning show at 12:29, the assumption would be everyone's asleep or someone's having a bad night, so they're still awake. But there's not a lot that can be done when the text comes in at 12:30 a.m.
Nothing. Yeah. Well, we could have texted Mapes. Hey, Mapes, come in early.
But Mapes is doing 12 to 6.
Yeah. Well, then come in 7 to 10 and then 12 to 6.
We have a lack of bodies anyway, so Joe is filling in for Mapes on my show.
Oh, well, we could have called Joe. Joe would have done it.
When he says very sick, was that confirmation that he wasn't coming in?
Yeah, right.
Yeah, we didn't know. He didn't go, I'm not going to make it.
Well, food poisoning, though. I'm not going to say I've had food poisoning, and I was out. I don't know if you remember it. I was out for a good 3 days. I remember it was during the playoffs in 15 against Kansas City. That's how vivid it is still in my mind. I remember watching when Carlos Correa missed that ball behind second base. I was laying in bed. I missed 3 days. I'm not going to say where I got the food poisoning, but I got tortured. Okay?
Wait a minute.
Wait, I'm not. I said
you
I'm
said
not going to
say. You weren't going to say it.
I didn't say it.
You got tortured by this. Oh, tortured.
Yeah, tortured. But so, I mean, I had a breakfast taco that was, I don't know.
I assume that would be safe. I guess it's what was the sausage or the egg, do you think, got you?
It was probably the sausage.
Sausage?
Yeah. I mean, but I was vomiting, and it was awful.
I can say something about East River 9. You were out the door because you had to go, but they served us breakfast tacos. No one with food poisoning. Well, I didn't get food poisoning.
No, I don't. It was probably not from
them. It wasn't from them because this happened.
Yeah.
It happened, 18 hours later or so? Maybe about 16
about
or so. 12,
13,
yeah.
14 hours later.
Yeah, because he ate at about 11 and sick. I don't know. I don't know what it is. I don't think it was East River 9. I know it didn't affect me. I just hope the young goat, Lance Zierlein.
Yeah, he could have eaten. You don't
feels
know.
Better.
He might have found a piece of sausage on the floor and eaten it. You don't know.
He's a foodie. I know he likes to try
new
things. So maybe he went to a restaurant that he shouldn't have gone to and now he's ill.
He might have stolen something from somebody that was supposed to be thrown out. You don't know.
I don't know his habits.
He steals interns' burgers. I think he'll eat almost anything.
I just think it's unfortunate that he won't be here. It's a big day. We had so much going on.
Oh, my God.
And he's unavailable to talk about any of it.
Okay, so Fromber was great, right?
He was.
And he was spectacular. We got some contributions. Jose Altuve has the greatest fielding percentage by any left fielder ever. Ever.
I did see that from people yesterday. He's an aggressive left fielder.
Well, how about he came up in front of Jake? I don't mind him running in front of Jake and getting stuff.
I thought the protocol was if the center fielder can get it, it's the center fielder.
Yeah, but Jose Altuve don't care about that.
I know.
He don't care.
He's an aggressive left fielder.
Oh, really? Jose Altuve has broken all of the stereotypes. Okay. Oh, a little person can't play? Oh, really?
He's not officially a little person.
Well, he's
a smaller individual.
He's a little person.
Yeah, but when you say little person, that's a phrase.
You can't steal that word. He's a little person.
No. It's not I'm not stealing anything. I'm not the one who dubbed myself a little person.
Yeah.
He's a small
Don't even get me started.
He's smaller.
About taking colors, rainbows.
Which colors?
I mean, you cannot. There's all kinds of colors that have been absconded
you can
by
still,
people
if you
by
wanna,
groups.
If you want to wear a rainbow pin on your Astros pullover and just say it's because I love rainbows, you're fine. Go ahead and do it.
Yeah.
What are you bitching about? Go do it.
No. Go do it. You can. That's fine.
But no one
people
stole that from you.
With different colors and words, and you can't do that.
You can.
He's little. And he's a person.
He is a legend.
He is a legend.
That's the word I'm using for
and
him.
And you know what? And it's funny. I heard Jim Crane before the game. He said, you know, was asked about him moving out there. And he goes, man, I'll tell you. He came up to me today and he said how much fun he's having. He said he loves it.
Espada said he was going to have the time of his life out there. Wee!
Well, that's it, though. I mean,
where do you think that soundbite came from? It was
I really wish
saying
people
it.
Would get over how hurt his feelings. I don't think his feelings are hurt.
Yeah, that's our very own Lance Zierlein said they're embarrassing him out there. But Altuve, from the very start, it came from his manager, but we didn't see hard feelings about it from him.
Well, and I saw a story because Jim Crane said, "Yeah, we weren't." I mean, we offered Bregman the 156.
We
didn't change the offer. You know what? And I saw an article where it's like, oh, you know, they're just not doing everything. Jose Altuve offered to move to left field just to so that Bregman would stay, and the Astros just aren't. I was like, no, that's not it. The Jose Altuve moved. They went to Jose Altuve right after the season last year and asked Jose Altuve, hey, how about a move to left field? Because you're starting to slow down.
And his response was?
And his response was, absolutely. No, that wasn't it. That wasn't it. That's not it. Every time I see that pig commercial on the Progressive,
I know.
I mean, or Geico, whichever one
whatever
it is.
Whatever it is, yeah.
I'm like, it's Dell. Dell's ruined it for everybody.
I don't know. I just know that he is thrilled to be out there. You saw the play, man. He was just raring to go make a play, and he made a play.
Yeah. Cam Smith, you've got sound. You got sound from Cam. So Cam Smith in his first at-bat, first pitch, grounds one in the hole. Jeremy Pena was on after being hit by a pitch, so the first baseman is holding him on. And it was Pete Alonso. He's holding him on. And Cam Smith is able to hit a ground ball through the right side. Base hit. Pena goes to third. Nice. They score a run. Cam Smith in his first pitch, which takes a lot of pressure off a kid. There's no question. I mean, you want to get that first hit. I mean, well, remember with Bregman, he didn't get a hit, how long it took, and there's other guys. Now, all of a sudden, it's just awful. First pitch, Cam Smith gets a hit. Here he is afterwards with Julio Morales after the game talking about that first at bat.
Cam here. What a day. What a few days, a week. I don't know. We could go back to before spring training, I'm sure, with you. But just take me through the process that you had to go through as you walked up to the plate for the very first time, and what did you tell yourself?
Yeah, I mean, an incredible feeling. They weren't playing about, you can feel the fourth deck. I asked Joe a couple of days ago, I said, are they going to fill those seats up all the way up there to where I can barely see? He said, you'll see. Yeah, so I felt that energy, and it just, like, it feels so good to be home.
Getting that first hit, too, what did that do for you?
I think it settled me down a little bit, but at the same time, like, you know, I want to keep going. I want to keep helping these guys win. So I'm just glad we got the win today. It was a great game.
I do want to know also how it felt or what it made you feel when you ran out to right field and you got that standing ovation and the crowd was going nuts for you.
Yeah, I think that's the best feeling I had so far. beyond the hit. I think going out there for defense, like waving to the fans, that was the best feeling.
You talked about the fourth deck. You talked about what you're going to feel in this ballpark. But, I mean, I know college baseball is great, but what does it? What are your takeaways from playing at Daikin Park for the first time like this?
Compared to college, it's like triple what Florida State has. You know, they bring out a good crowd at Florida State, but this is no joke. I mean, this is the show, so I'm glad to call this place home now.
So he grounded out to short and he grounded out to the pitcher. He was able to pull the ball. I'm not poo-pooing Cam Smith, but he goes through. Now it's good to go to right field. When you're struggling, it's good to go to right field. But in spring training, you saw he hit the ball to center field with power. He hit the ball to right field with power. He did pull a home run to left field as well. I think the major now those were against now his left and his center were against less than major league pitching. I want to see him start to pull the ball with some power, because he is going the other way. He's late on swings right now, and I think that hopefully he's going to be able to catch up to major league fastballs and start to punish him. That's something that he's going to have to do. Of course, they're going to throw him a bunch of breaking balls. He's got great. He looks like he belongs. He's got, you know, I mean, to single in your first ever at bat, with the emotions that he must have been feeling at the big league level for the first time. Awesome, awesome, awesome. We got to see him start to hit with some. He didn't hit one ball really hard yesterday. That ball that went through the right side was a three hopper that was able to get through because Alonso was holding Pena on, and then the ground balls to shorten the pitcher were not hard hit either. He will hit the ball hard. I'm not poo pooing anything. I just in the pregame in a game against Sugarland at Daikin, he tripled to right field. So he's going to have to learn to get around on balls in a hurry. Maybe his bat is lagging a little bit, but it's major league pitching. It's major league pitching. So that's something that we're going to have to keep an eye on, that he's going to be hitting the ball hard, and he's going to be able to pull the ball, especially at Daikin. Especially, I mean, you saw already, you know, I think Paredes is going to be nice. I think it's going to be real nice to have Paredes. He played a really good third base yesterday. He didn't get a hit, but he did score a run after a walk. This team is nice. This team is just fine. This team is going to be, I think, just fine. You're going to get Hunter Brown now. You're going to get Arrigetti. Well, hopefully Blanco is going to be the same guy that he was last year. If you can get 13 wins out of Blanco, I like this team. This team is nice. I think this team, they only scored 3 runs yesterday, but I think this team is going to be better than last year's team.
Well, there's the big improvement at first with
huge improvement.
Christian Walker, and of course, Paredes did show, at least for one game, that maybe the drop-off defensively is a little overblown. We will see. I did see someone, a funny Astro fan, go, I think Bregman went 0-for-4 yesterday. Like, hey, Red Sox fans, wait till June. These are the days. Just wait till June, and hopefully he comes around for you, because that's kind of how it goes. I talked about it yesterday with Sean. I don't know if excited's the word for this roster, but I am intrigued because it's new. I mean, sure, the old standbys are there, Altuve, Alvarez. You got our guys, Fromber, but you got new blood and new faces in a lot of different spots. There are 4 different guys in the starting lineup than there were last year, like from opening day last year, because Chaz wasn't in the lineup, of course, with Walker, Paredes, Cam, and then you have Altuve in a different spot. It's different, so I'm excited to see how everything comes together. I picked them to win a division just because you see that Astros brand. I think they'll just win it. I'm not particularly scared about the rest of the AOS, so I'm excited just to see how this team comes together. As long as Fromber and Hunter Brown at the top of the rotation, I feel pretty good about this team.
Yep. Christian Walker is going to be nice. That is going to be nice. Oh, the Bregman thing. Listen, Red Sox fan is going to have a real problem if Bregman has his typical April and May, because Trevor Story, because they waited and waited and waited, and he never produced, and they're going to be like, oh my God, we've got another one. And the pressure is going to build on him if he doesn't perform in a relative hurry.
I hope whoever those people listen to prepped them about the Bregman experience. Maybe they did their own research. I doubt it, because if he's going 0-for-4 in a game in April, they're still going to be pissed off about it. But this is who he is. They should do your research and know that he's not going to get off to a good start, and you just got to get comfortable with it. I doubt that they will, though.
Nope, they're not going to. They're a Red Sox fan. They're not going to get comfortable. They're mass holes, okay?
It's true.
That's what they do. 713-780-3776, the number. If you want to get in here, it's just me and Dell this morning. We have got the Cougs going to play tonight. We have got all kinds of basketball to talk, including our Rockets last night with another win, and the Lakers with an historic loss, an unbelievable finish, and the Lakers lose, which is great for everybody in the world. So that is fantastic. You got to get in. 713-780. We need your help.
Was LeBron at the game, or was he just not filmed at the game? Was LeBron actually at? Because I've been told he's sometimes not at places. It turns out he is at places.
No, he was there.
Oh, he's there.
He was there. I saw him walking off, pissed off.
Was he filmed?
He was filmed. He was there.
I want to be sure because if I have to come back and apologize for a misstep, right, for a misstep, I'm just trying to get out of it.
The New York Times reported that he was there.
Along with the TV?
Right.
Okay.
Right. New York Times said LeBron was actually at the game last night.
So I can blame him for that awful inbounds play, not someone else.
It was an awful inbounds play. I mean, you want to talk. That is as harried a finish as I've ever seen in basketball.
You had two daggers, one from Kobe White, then one from Austin Reeves, then one from Josh Kitty, in a matter of what? How many seconds of actual game time?
It was awesome. Yeah. It was awesome. And the Rockets were awesome last night as well. And the Lakers' loss helps out a bunch. A 3.5 game lead now over the Lakers, 2 games over the Nuggets, and 3.5 over the Grizzlies. The Rockets are putting themselves squarely in either that 2 or 3 hole.
Yeah.
With what, 8 games to go, they've got a 3.5 game lead on the to be in third place. That's not bad.
And I look at the teams they're competing against. Outside of the Grizzlies, the Nuggets and Lakers feel like teams who will shut it down late. Like, you know what? We're not that concerned about chasing seeding. I honestly think their real competition down the stretch, if it comes to that, and they would have to completely fall apart, is the Grizzlies. If it gets to the final couple games, I don't think the Nuggets are going to push. I think they'll just say, you know what, we're fine where we are. We're not going to push for a 2. And as long as the Rockets can sustain for the next 4 or 5 games, I think they have that 2 locked up. I don't see the Nuggets going after that. It's not what they normally do.
That game on Monday against Los Angeles is going to be big.
Yeah.
At LA, at the Lakers. And JT and Wendy are going. Wendy got tickets yesterday. They're gonna go to the game. That's the only time I want to go to a Laker game, is when the Rockets are there. Wear my red and scream.
Tell JT not to talk to Luka. Luka thrives on people yelling at him. Tell JT just to watch the game. Just don't say a word to Luka. If he's not having a great night, just let that keep going.
Yeah. Hey Luka, Amen owns you.
Nope.
Owns you.
Don't do it.
You can't score on Amen.
It's the worst thing you can do. He's the worst player in the NBA for that. Leave him alone. He will be fine being average in a game until someone yells at him. Someone talks trash and then it's go time. I'm just warning the Granados. If you want the Rockets to win, just leave Luka alone on that night.
I think they're going to be. They got ESPN tickets. She had to buy them, but ESPN supplied them, so they should be pretty good where he's yellable. He can yell at him.
In fact, I would be in neutral colors as well. Don't piss him
off. Oh, no. Wear red. Wear red and be loud. No.
Don't. John, I'm telling you. Wear red, I guess. But if Luka zeroes in on JT, first he'll say the worst things to him in front of his mother. And then, and then secondly, he'll go for 40.
I love that. Love that. You know what? But no, get in his kitchen. Get in his kitchen. Let's see.
All right,
Let's see if he's got it or not.
I tried to warn you.
Okay. All right, we're taking a break. 713-780-3776. Don't you go anywhere. ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92. My homegirls work at the airport. They saw that Foo Lance boarding a flight to Indy. No, he's not on his way to Indy. He could have gone after the game, after the show. Okay? He's not on a flight to Indy. I wish he was. I wish he was going to the game. I told him to go. You got a place to stay? So you, it's a $5,000 trip that you only would have had to spend $1,100 on. Come on. Pick it up.
What if you only have
support the Cougs?
What if you only have $600 to spend? Well, it's still going to cost you more than you can spend.
Yeah. Well, he's got more. He's got six jobs. Okay.
How many children?
Okay. So the kids don't have to eat every day.
Isn't that a job per kid?
The kids don't have to eat every day.
I guess
they ate yesterday.
That's not really how parents want to raise their children.
It did with me and my kids.
You fed them once. You fed them every other day.
If necessary.
When was it
if
ever
necessary for me to have fun?
Well, what a great dad.
I was an all-time dad.
I heard.
You can eat tomorrow. I kept Frankie skinny that way.
Wow. Well, yeah, that's most important, being skinny.
You know the bullies over there that would have gotten
you mean Frankie?
Her? Yeah. No, well, she did not do that.
Okay. Bullies.
Frankie got investigated at LA for bullying a girl.
Bullies.
And she was like, I didn't even do it.
I mean, I would have, but not this time.
All right, we're going to talk about the Rockets in just a second, but Coach Reese, I've told you, if you call in, you're getting in right away. And I don't care what you want to talk about today because it's a holiday show. It's just me and Dell. It's one of the holiest of holidays this weekend, okay? It's tonight, it's the Cougs game. Cougs and Purdue, which is an all-timer in this country, one of the great games in college basketball history.
It's a rivalry that everyone talks about.
Oh, Kelvin Sampson going back to Indiana. You think he don't want to stick it right up there?
I don't know. I don't know what he wants to stick
up
where.
He said, I don't care.
I don't care.
Yeah. He was asked about that. He goes, no, I don't care about coming back here. I want to beat Purdue.
Yeah.
That's all.
And then beat whoever we face and then go home.
That's all. Coach Reese, what's up?
Hey, good morning. Hey, I was calling. I was in the gym the other day, and I saw in the NFL, the competition committee was making some rule changes. And I was wondering, like, what kind of rule changes will be implemented this season, in the coming season, and if the return thing would get any better. And do they have a competition committee in the NBA to make the game better, to make it more appealing?
I don't know about the NBA. I would imagine they do. They look at the rules every year, don't they? But they don't. NBA really. I mean, the NFL does. They implement small things every year. The NBA doesn't do it nearly as much that I can think of off the top of my head.
Yeah, I don't know the last change they made. I mean, they've instituted technical fouls for flopping, but as far as demonstratively changing how the game is played, not really. It's not something. They're actually pretty slow moving when it comes to that type of stuff. Like they'll give you an in season tournament, but how basketball is actually played, they don't do a lot of that. I mean, what, 20 something years ago, there's some foul. I'm not 3-point line movement, and they had to go back to it because it didn't really do anything for the game. As far as making the game better, I don't know.
They did make it better.
I don't know how you make the game better. Tell people to stop shooting from certain spots. What do you do in basketball?
An NBA?
Yeah.
I don't know about. Is there anything in the NBA that really is egregious that we hate? I hate how long the replay takes.
Yeah, but people hate the way the game is played.
Yeah.
How do you fix that?
Yeah. I don't think that there's nearly as much isolation as there was, say, 5 years ago.
No, it's a lot of pick and roll.
A lot of pick and roll.
You try to draw two and shoot the corner three.
At least
and
there's
stuff
two
like that.
Guys involved as opposed to just
yeah,
one.
And then you get the rotations going. So if teams with good ball movement can get open shots, I just don't know the fix that people are looking for. I'm not sure how you do it until something happens that forces people to play differently. Like, well, it's such a novel idea here in this city for the two bigs, and look at Steven Adams and Shingun on the court at the same time. But other than stuff like that, where that becomes more in vogue and post players become more a thing, if that ever changes, what are you going to do? People see the three as a way to get back in games and a way to beat teams. You want to blame someone?
Mm-hmm.
You blame Steph and Daryl Morey.
Steph is the biggest one. Stafford's going to go down as maybe not as one of the beloved players. He ruined the game.
Yes.
He destroyed the game.
When Steph Curry steps aside, they're going to be think pieces about how he ruined the game of basketball.
Did you see he was going into the atrium and he threw one the length of the floor and it looked like it went in?
We just don't have the right angle for it, right?
Right, because they showed the angle from the side of the basket and it hit the net below it.
This is like
everybody was going crazy because they thought he made it.
Yeah, this is like when I forgot who it was, but it was maybe early 2000s when it was a doctored video of like maybe Michael Vick throwing a football 100 yards in like the Coliseum and people are like, I can't believe. And then it turns out it's obviously they're messing with the camera. I don't know. We need a different angle. If I don't see a different angle, I'm assuming he missed.
Yeah, he did. Well, it looked like it, and the net moved, so everybody assumed. But
I'm just going to assume he missed.
The ball hit the bottom of the net underneath the basket.
If he had made it, we would have, much like the Wilt Chamberlain thing people talk about, oh, if he scored 100, we would have seen it. If he had made that shot, we would see it. But Reese was talking about the rules.
The rules.
The NFL will keep the onside kick. There was a proposal to do the 4th and 15 thing instead of an onside kick. John's doing a thing. We'll explain if you're watching it on television. Apparently, the NFL teams think it's too gimmicky to go from an onside kick that never works to a 4th and 15 in place of an onside kick. That was a major thing I saw. Of course, we talked about tush-push.
Out to the 35 as well.
Yeah, the tush-push looks like it's going to stay. I don't think there's a lot of momentum to get rid of it.
The only rule change that I saw was the nose wipe.
Yes, it's the 15-yard penalty that you might have seen CeeDee Lamb do. Deshaun did a version of
Baker
it as well.
Baker does it.
Baker Mayfield might do
it. Baker does it after a first down.
It is.
Wipes his nose.
Said to be a violent gesture now.
Yeah, it's a. Is it a gang thing?
I mean, I don't want to speak on it, but sure. I think that's part of it, yeah. And the NFL has decided. And also brandishing weapons like that we saw become a thing in college quite a bit. Like you lift up your shirt to show the gun. That's going away. I can't do that now.
Any violent gesture which shall include but not be limited to a throat slash, simulating firing or brandishing a gun, or using the nose wipe gesture, or an act that is sexually suggestive or offensive.
So, Jameson William, watch it with the gyrating after touchdowns.
Marshawn grabbing himself.
Is that a sexual gesture?
I mean,
it's a grabbing of your organ, but is that really a gesture, a sexual gesture? I never thought, when I saw an Italian do that in a movie, I never thought that was a sexual gesture. I thought that was like kind of an FU to whoever they were talking to.
Yeah. The sign is generally used to scare off unwanted company or to keep sight of someone. It doesn't always necessarily mean murder. Usually someone is being robbed or targeted for some act of violence. That's what the nose wipe apparently is. I don't know. I don't know. All I know is that you can't do it anymore, CD or Baker, okay? Gangsters.
When I think of
Baker Mayfield?
Yeah, I think of gangsters.
He's a gangster.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well,
CD's too skinny to be a gangster.
Well, I don't know. Nah, that doesn't play a part.
It doesn't?
No, it really doesn't. No,
I know. It was gangster when he pulled that phone off of his girlfriend's hand.
It's the only thing I will remember from his career, honestly.
I'll remember him from winning me my fantasy league.
Well, that's different. I don't play. But the lasting image of CeeDee Lamb for me will always be him taking that phone out of her hand.
Yeah.
Hey, no. Stay out of this. No, you can sit here and be pretty, but don't look at my phone.
You don't touch my phone. No.
So the nose wipe is out. So if you see it,
nose wipe is out.
You know your players just got a 15-yard penalty,
and somebody is going to do it and get a 15-yard penalty.
Yeah, it's coming. Yeah, guys commit unsportsmanlike conduct penalties knowing that it's coming. They still do it. Yeah, it'll happen. Someone will either forget that it's a rule or not care and still do it.
All right, we're going to talk Rockets on the other side, unless you interrupt the show at 713-780-3776. You can hijack this show. We don't care. We really don't. We really don't. So if you want to get in, 713-780-3776. Taking a break. Don't go anywhere. Welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. John, no Lance here with you. He is sick. If y'all would send him pictures of himself laying in bed, looking very, very sickly, that would be awesome today because we're thinking of him. We're thinking of him, and we want to do everything we possibly can to make him feel worse.
While I know that he is actually ill, I was disgusted by that text.
Why were you disgusted by it?
It's like, come on, man. It's such a... You can't control it. It's just a soft way to miss work. Somehow, I know it's not his fault. I know, and it sucks. But for some reason, across food poisoning, you're an adult. I know it doesn't mean anything. I know.
If you eat something bad,
it wasn't happens. A logical response. I know that. I know it was, but in my head, I'm, man, you're soft ass.
Man, you said S-A-W-F-T?
I was like, food poisoning? How did this happen? We need an investigation. I'm not saying he's lying. I just want to know how it happened. Like, was it his own doing? Did he mess something up cooking himself? Or did he go out to a restaurant and get sick?
A lot of times it's a restaurant.
Yeah, usually it's about going out to the restaurant.
Long or whatever.
Yeah.
A lot of times.
Either way, I don't know. I can't.
It certainly wasn't East River 9 because you were fine.
I had.
Y'all got this from the same batch.
Yeah, and Sam had a breakfast taco. Yeah. We had our intern slash promo person Victoria out there. She had some. I don't know, but I haven't heard anything. And Sam texted me this morning about some stuff for social media, so she seems fine. So wherever he went afterwards is the problem. But either way,
you and Sam, you text each other in the morning. What do you say? You up?
I've never done that. That's a Lance thing. I don't ever text Sam first because anytime she's texting me, it's about work. It's like, hey, today's John and Lance's day for a video. I'm like, Lance is not here. She goes, oh, that doesn't matter.
I want to see. I'm sure you said, you up?
No, I'll show you the text. There's nothing incriminating. It's a lot of, oh, you want me to do something for work? I don't want to do that. It's a lot of me not wanting to do things.
Okay. Tell me what to do. You're not the boss.
I can't do that. Look, don't get upset with me. She, as far as people who are connected to the show, she's more interested in someone else than she is in anything I do. And you know who I'm talking about.
You up?
I've never sent that to anyone.
All right. We're going to talk Rockets, but first we're going to get Dave in here because we get guys out right away, immediately, if not sooner. Fastest wait times in the business. Dave, what's going on?
Hey, good morning, guys. Listen up, I just heard the caller call in about rule changes and whatnot. And I know it's not going to happen. I know it, but I really, truly wish the NBA would start back calling travel because it has just messed up every league, the park, 24-hour fitness, people think they can just get away with anything. And it's killing me, man. I got high blood pressure every time I watch someone travel in the league. And you sit there and you listen to the announcers, like, applauding it, applauding travel. The big win of the night with Maryland. The guy took three steps, and I get it. They call all the gather steps. Listen, there was no gather step when I played. The ball hit the floor, you had two steps after that.
Yeah.
That was it. And they're just walking all over the place right now.
Well, when I grew up, it was a step and a half. Now it's three steps. But, Dave, here's the problem with that. It's on the books already. It's just not enforced. It's like jaywalking. You can get a ticket or, you can serve jail time. But guess what happens? You don't get a ticket for jaywalking. You don't get a ticket for walking in the NBA either. It's on the books, but they just don't enforce it.
Yeah, that's Silverman. He wanted more scoring, and he just said, let that go. Let it go. But I'm telling you, when you go to your kids' AAU game, and I tell you another one they're doing besides the three steps, that I watched Jaylen Brown in the finals last year. They got what they call the step group. And basically, it's switching pivots. That's all it is. It's just switching your pivot foot, which is travel. And it mucks up the game to me. I'm old school. I like to see people be creative.
Yep. Yep. And then you wanted to talk some NFL?
Thank you, guys. Appreciate you. You know, the NFL right now, I'm still a fan. So, I don't know about this Aaron Rodgers deal. I wish some kind of way we could get someone else. But the Steelers' biggest problem is, like everyone knows, they're always in the middle. So we never get high draft picks. I've been a fan since Bradshaw and Mean Joe Green and the whole night, and we never get a high pick. Never.
That's because you win every year. You're complaining about winning every year.
Well, there's a mediocrity right now.
That's true. It is true. You guys are you guys are mired in a place. Well, in your quarterback, you just haven't the last few years. The quarterback situation has just been awful for you, and you gotta do something. You gotta do something about that. It ain't easy. If you want a long term solution, sure, everybody wants a long term. So you guys have not addressed that position. I mean, it's been awful, actually. Kenny Pickett, and then Justin Fields, and then Russell, and now maybe Aaron Rodgers. I mean, it's. And if it's not, you're in a bad way there. And yet you keep winning. I mean, you guys, I get it. You're in purgatory, actually. You're with the Rockets now. Remember, I thought the Rockets were in James Harden purgatory. They were never going to win at all with James Harden. It was just, they were just, and they couldn't get a lottery pick because they were always in the playoffs. It's a bad place to be. But you got to figure out, you got to solve. Hey, there's been plenty of quarterbacks that have been taken outside of the first round. You don't have to have a high pick to get a good quarterback. I mean, it's proven. You do not have to have a high pick. You just got to get the right guy. And so far, you haven't done it.
And their opportunities have been limited.
Well, no, you mean Russell Wilson?
Well,
guys that are drafted that aren't. Mahomes was what, 10? Deshaun was 11.
Yeah, but they're not even in the 10 range.
Or 12, right?
And by the way, the Chiefs had to trade up. So the thing the Steelers I don't remember ever doing is trading up, being aggressive and going to get that quarterback.
Yeah.
So maybe that's what you're looking at. You're not forced to pick in the 18 through 24 range just because you win 9 to 10 games every year. If you find a guy that you like, go make the move. Take the chance. Steelers haven't ever done that in recent memory, so that's why they're stuck where they are, where they're waiting for Aaron Rodgers to make a decision.
So who's worse, the Steelers pick getting quarterbacks or the Texans getting offensive linemen?
I would say the Texans, because their inability to protect their young quarterback kind of changed the trajectory of his season.
Steelers are pretty bad at this quarterback thing now.
Yeah, but they still find a way to win.
They win. But the Texans find a way to win, too.
I think the impact of being bad at picking offensive linemen hurts the Texans far more, I think, more. Because, you know, they've wound up in the same spot, honestly. They both were a 10-11-1 team. But what are you doing to hamper your quarterback's development by not being able to pick offensive linemen? And the Steelers are throwing one resource at it per year, pretty much. The Texans are throwing multiple resources at it. They're taking more shots than the Steelers are and whiffing. So that's why I lean Texans being worse at it.
I think it's a pretty good game right there. I think we got a pretty good ball game between those two.
Well, I feel confident the Steelers will get Aaron. Well, if the Steelers get Aaron Rodgers and the Texans got some combination of Trent Brown, Lincoln Tomlinson, and Ed Ingram. Cam Robinson as well. Who's better? Who fares better this year? The Aaron Rodgers-led Steelers or the Cam Robinson and Ed Ingram-led Texans?
I don't know. You know what? I've seen it before that a team, as opposed to just getting a great lineman like they did with Tunsil, sometimes teams and groups come together better. You don't have to be a tremendous player, but you have to work together. You have to communicate well, and you have to work great with your other guys. And now, on the edges, you're on your own. You're on an island, and Cam Robinson hasn't been great on an island, and certainly Trent Brown, we don't know. He hasn't played, so we'll see. But I think, listen, as a unit last year, they were awful. They were letting guys, they got worked on simple moves. I mean, that were just, it was amazing how bad they were at picking up guys that were doing simple stunts. It was amazing how bad it was.
Can you do the calculus on this then? You add the lineman who allowed the most pressures in football. Another lineman who allowed the third most pressures in football, and then another lineman who allowed the fourth most pressures in football.
Put them all together.
You're going to come together. The power of friendship will come together and make them a good offensive line.
And what does it spell? Suck.
So I appreciate what you're saying. If you gave me or you told me they would dump Tunsil and bring in like 3 to 4 competent offensive linemen, not great, but just not bad. And they would come together and be better. I'd be like, you know what, John? You got a point.
Uh-huh.
But the three of them were terrible last year.
Yeah. Well, you put them all together, though, Del.
And then Trent Brown, who's hurt all the time.
You put them all together, though.
And as R.J. Saunders said, bury C.J. in the H.
Mm-hmm. We got a break. 746 ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. 713-780-3777. We will get to the Rockets, I'm sure, but you guys keep...
If you guys continue to interrupt the show,
we're here for that. We are here for it. And listen, HRMP is here for you. HRMP is awesome. We love HRMP. We've been with HRMP forever. Mike Holly has created a company. I don't know where he got this technology, but it is proprietary technology that is second to none. I saw him. I know Mike a little bit, and he said, man, Trump people are coming after me, and it's really, really attractive, some of the offers that are being made for my technology, and I ain't doing it. I ain't doing it. I'm not selling it. I want to keep on doing what we're doing. I love what we're doing. I love how we're helping people. I love how we're partnered with people, and you'll see you are going to be partnered with them. We are friends, and they have a real desire to see us succeed and help us succeed. And this really, really happens, okay? HRMP is going to be there for you. They're going to partner with you. They're going to do your payroll. They're going to do your HR. They're going to do your taxes, and they're going to want you to succeed, and they're going to help you with your benefits packages as well. That's what they do. All right. They help businesses be better. Help your business be better. I don't know what your problems are. HRMP will, though, and they'll help you sort it out and make it better. HRP.net, 281-880-6525 or HRP.net. All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, 713-780-3776. You want to get in here with us, you're more than welcome. 713-780-3776, the number to get in. Let's get Keith in here. Hey, Keith, did you watch that Rockets game last night?
Hey guys, thanks for having me on. Shortest wait times in the industry. Absolutely impressive.
Yes, thank you.
Here's my question. Even though Lance is not here, I feel like you guys can definitely tackle this. A couple days ago, the Titans signed legendary backup quarterback, third-string QB, Tim Boyle, to join the QB room with Brandon Allen and Will Levis. Does that take them out of the Cam Ward sweepstakes?
No. Tim Boyle doesn't take anything and does not change it. No, I mean, a lot of teams will have four quarterbacks in camp.
Why are you pretending like this is a serious question?
He's just a guy. No, well, because, I mean, he may mean it.
What?
He may mean it.
Tim Boyle has never stopped anyone from doing anything ever.
No.
Well, except for playing good offense. He has stopped that from happening.
You got to have camp bodies, and that's what Tim Boyle is now.
Yeah.
No, that's
yeah. No, Keith. No, it didn't stop them from.
Would it be? How shocking would it be if they took out Abdul Carter there?
You know, it wouldn't be that surprising, considering everyone who talks about this quarterback draft says the only reason a quarterback is going to go number one is because they play that position, not because they are even a top five talent in the draft. But you got to go try it, right? You don't ever really want the number one pick ever again. Once you have it, unless you're the Jags and it hasn't really worked out for them, they have it back to back years. Take the quarterback.
Yeah,
it's because Abdul Carter is good. I don't know that he's one of those, in the word that Lance says, a generational pass rusher. Is he looked at that way, or is he just, hey, he's a really good player
the best player in this draft.
Understood. Yeah. But if he's not. If he's not a future five-time, six-time Pro Bowl, he's not Myles Garrett, I'll go take the quarterback.
Yeah. I mean, quarterbacks get you fired, but not having a quarterback get you fired, too.
Yeah. No one's going to want to sit through another year of...
No, Will Levis. No.
Yeah.
No, it'll excite the fan, but it's everything. Yeah. You don't get the number one pick over, you know, and the guy is there, so you take him. I don't think there's any question, but... Dumber things have been done, so we'll see. I think Cam Ward has to be the guy, but we'll see. All right, Rockets last night. See, Lance and I had this discussion yesterday or the day before. I think it was the day before. About who, if you were a general manager and you could take any Rocket player, who would you take? He said first guy gone would be Amen Thompson. And I said the first guy gone is Alperen. Here, last night is why Alperen's the guy. a dude can put up 30. He can put up 30, and Almond doesn't. That's not Almond. Almond can't do that. When you and guess what? The name of the game is scoring. And not only that, but LP does play defense. LP is great with the ball in his hands. He can start the offense. LP is the star, is an all-star. LP is the star of this team. Alperen Şengün is the best player on this team. And he proved that last night. He was everything that they needed last night. Amen Thompson's career high is 25. You know, Alpi can put up, like last night's game, he can put up 30 for you. And I don't think that's Amen. That's not Amen's game now. Unless he develops that jumper, he's never going to be that guy, and he doesn't have it yet. And Amen isn't, I mean, Alpi's not a complete, is not a finished product either. So, I really believe every and you know, if you're going to start a team, it's not bad. Look at the centers today, but they win championships now. Centers went it went away from it, and it was all about wing players. Centers win championships.
Well, one does.
Yeah,
we'll see who the next one is. Alperen.
Well, I mean, the Lakers won it
because they had the second best player of all time,
and they also had the guy in the middle.
True, but Anthony Davis has never won anything when he was the best player on a team.
No. You got to have, obviously, you got to have help. And
Jokic not just help.
I mean, but he was the second best player on that team.
Yes, but Anthony, right. and he had an outlier shooting performance. The Lakers won the title in that bubble because Anthony Davis became a legit jump shooter. He has never shot the ball well again, and he's still a great player. But there's a reason everyone's scoffing at the Mavericks for trading Luka. The perimeter player will continue to be the focus of most people.
Yeah.
But that was
just a dumb trade.
But still, there are not many times where you're going to trade a great perimeter player for a center. It's just not how the game works. But back to Alpi.
Yeah, well, you also had Giannis winning a title, too.
But he's a perimeter guy who's big and can play down low. But he's not a center, though.
Yeah.
But he is
their center, though. I mean,
Brook Lopez is their center. Giannis is a giant wing, and he's the freak for a reason. We talked about this, why he has that nickname. But back to Alpi. Alpi is an all-star, but Alpi's having a worse year than he did last year. Part of the reason he's an all-star is because the team is better, and that helps your cause. And he's a big contributor for that. But I'm not solidly in the camp of Alpi going forward. I would take him over Amen, because you look at the game last night, and Sean and I discussed this, just happened to discuss it a couple days ago. There are going to be times where the only person who can go get the Rockets a good shot because of his ability is Jalen Green. And Jalen Green came in for a struggling Fred VanVleet last night and was great. He created open shots for others. He made his. I think he came in when the score was 94-90.
Yeah.
And he was the focal point.
No, he was a difference.
He drew people. He got guys shots.
Made shots.
And that's the reason you might lean into believing in Jalen, because he's the only one on that roster currently who can do what happened last night. And Alpi did his part last night, too, from the points and even late. But this is why people lean perimeter player, because Jalen was the best player on the court. He got guys in the pick and roll, and he put Filipowski in hell because Filipowski had to play Jalen, had to get back to Alpi, and they cut up that Jazz team who isn't trying to win. But still, it was a great performance last night from Jalen. Getting his guy shots, getting his own shots. And that's why it'll always be this contentious thing between who do you want, a center or a perimeter player? And I think people lean the perimeter player for nights like that. But I'm not taking away from Alpi. He was great last night, too.
Yeah. And Alpi can create his own shot, too, by the way. He gets the ball on top. He can back you down. He can spin. He can do things with the basketball.
But you're
that most
guy,
centers can't.
You're looking
do.
At a guy who's a 19-10 guy who's shooting at least this year under 50% from the floor. The 3-pointer, he doesn't shoot a lot of them, but that percentage down across the board, his shooting is down. So I get what you're saying with the all-star stuff, but that's more. I look at that as more. Hey, that's we need to pick a good player from a good team. Alpi's our choice. I don't think that would be a line in the sand where I go, okay, I lean that way because he's an all-star. We'll see what happens in his future. It's a good discussion, a good problem to have. You have several guys on this roster who a lot of teams would want. And you're lucky to have accumulated that type of talent.
Yeah.
And now you're less than 10 games away from seeing what they look like in a playoff series. And that'll form opinions, too. Like, if Jalen Green does what he did in the playoffs, what he did last night in the playoffs, where he's the focus of late offense and he's successful and efficient, we're going to have a different discussion about Jalen Green than the one we've had for the first four seasons.
And listen, you won that game basically without Van Vliet. You, Dylan Brooks, Jabari offered very little. I mean, it was Alpi, and you're right. I mean, it was 94-90, and Jalen came into the game, and they ended up winning 27-20 the rest of the way. Jalen made a huge difference in that game. But Alpi was the best player. They built that lead. This letting leads fritter away is going to be look, the Cougs the other night. The Rockets, the last two games. What are we doing in the fourth quarter? What are we doing? Okay, why are we letting teams back in this thing and making me nuts? I mean, and I'm just looking at this. Lance always looks at it from a personal perspective and how it affects him.
Yes,
I'm looking at it from my perspective now. I've about had it with these blowing fourth late leads. Okay, so. Let's stop this trend that we're on right now.
Yeah, it's against the Jazz of all teams.
And against the Jazz. Of course, you got your ass kicked by the Jazz last time you were there.
That's not a thing you should be referencing either as far. Well, at least they didn't get their ass kicked. They won. It's the Jazz. And this version of the Jazz is worse. They're not playing guys.
No.
They're getting fined for messing with the participation rules. They got hit with $100K because they didn't explain why Markkanen wasn't available maybe a week or so ago. And the fact that Kyle Filipowski's playing 33 minutes, trust me. That team's not trying to win, and you almost let them beat you.
Yeah, and it was 94. It was a 4-point game, but they did in the first half too. They were way up, and they ended up by two at the half.
Yeah, they had a nice third quarter that gave them a bit of a cushion, and then they almost gave it all away. But they found a way, thanks to Jalen and Alpi late, and you know their ability just to create second shots themselves off missed free throws. I don't know the stats. I'm sure it's out there. The Rockets have to lead the league in creating second shots off of missed free throws. Nothing is a given.
They miss
with them.
More free throws than anybody.
Yeah, they're the worst free throw shooting team in the league. But there's nothing is a given with them when you're trying to clean up your defensive board. They will attack everything, even missed free throws. And we saw that in the game. Was it their last game or the game before? But it happened again. Jabari Smith secured another possession for them because. Yep. They don't give up on anything.
They don't because they miss more than anybody.
But that's
they got their, more opportunities than anybody.
But that's their personality. Even when it's a missed jumper, yeah. It's just they attack and attack and attack, and it results in a lot of second chances. And it was enough to get it done last night.
Oh, watch out, young ladies! Josh Giddey's out there last night.
Well, see.
I said young ladies. That's
Josh Giddey. I was
watching Josh Giddey hit the half-court shot and beat the Lakers. Thank you, by the way, Josh Giddey.
Yeah, well, thanks to LeBron. Thanks to that entire Laker team for losing their minds down the stretch. They were up by
16 in the fourth.
Yeah, they went into the fourth up by 16, and even late after the Bulls made a comeback, they were up by, was it five, and then the Bulls hit a three, and they threw it away. And then Kobe White hit a three to take the lead. Of course, Austin Reeves makes the layup to give the Lakers a lead. And then Josh Giddey makes a half-court shot to win it. So good night for the Rockets. You didn't embarrass yourself in Salt Lake City. I'm sure Vernon Maxwell's thrilled with another win against Utah. And then you got the Lakers blowing a game against
Chicago.
And
look, the Lakers are playing really well because they're winning games. But look at the teams that they're struggling against, that they're barely beating with a tip in at the end. They're losing
the Pacers are a good basketball team.
Huh?
The Pacers are good.
The Pacers are okay. The Pacers are not anybody in the West that you're going to be competing for a championship.
But
they're not.
I don't think there are that many teams in the West capable of winning a title. I think there are a few, but we can get into that later. But the Pacers are fine. They're top four seed. They are one game behind the Lakers. If we think the Lakers are a good team and can win a title possibly, the Pacers.
I don't think either team is a title contender.
Are the Rockets a title contender?
The Rockets are a Western Conference title contender. I mean, they're a Western. I think they're capable of going to the Western Conference Finals.
Are the Lakers capable of making the Western Conference Finals?
I don't think so. I don't. I don't think in a seventh game series. I don't think they're good enough. I just don't.
I don't know. Luka and LeBron in the seven game series. We'll see. We haven't seen it before together, so we'll see. I think the Pacers are a team who made the Eastern Conference Finals last year. I don't think they're a real title contender, but I think they could. They could. I think they could take the Cavs to 6 or 7 because that's what the match would be if they made the second round. They're fine. They've played well. They won 8 out of 10. The Lakers got a good win, but yes, they did struggle against the Bulls team. By the way, the Bulls playing good basketball.
They're playing better.
Yes,
the Rockets saw that too. And you know who else is playing well? And who he doesn't play well with pests with insects. That's Scott McGrath. They hate him. The insects, bugs, they hate Scott McGrath. And there's a reason for that, because he's a serial killer. That's right. He kills bugs like a serial killer. He destroys them. He destroys mosquitoes. So it's going to get warm. You're going to be outside. You want to eat outside. You want to swim in the pool. It's going to be, you know, starting to get dark, and all of a sudden the mosquitoes are all out. Everybody's getting bit up, and you're like, well, this stinks. We can't be outside. We can't eat outside when it starts to get dark. We can't be in the pool because everybody's getting bit by mosquitoes. Nope. Not with his mosquito murdering system. I've got the mosquito murdering system at the house. It's awesome. You can go outside and not have to worry. Not have to worry ever about the mosquitoes because of the mosquito murdering system. Scott McGrath has a way to kill those mosquitoes and not have. If you've had a problem with mosquitoes in your backyard in the past, you need Scott McGrath. And if you've got a termite issue, or you're selling your home or buying a home, you need somebody to do a termite inspection, Scott McGrath is here for you as well. Scott McGrath has been doing this forever. Scott McGrath is great at it. He is awesome. You will love Scott McGrath when he kills all of those bugs or inspects, okay? You need Scott McGrath. McGrathPestControl.com. That's McGrathPestControl.com. Tell him you heard it right here.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting 3 matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and Leon starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Shop the Sherwin-Williams July Summer Sale and get 30% off paints and stains July 18th through the 28th. With prices starting at $34.29, it's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Whether you're looking to revamp your interior or exterior, we have you covered with bold hues, soothing neutrals, and everything in between. Visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store or shop the sale online. Delivery available on qualifying orders. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.